I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And we've got a jam-packed hour for you. The Panthers coming down the stretch here in the regular season. As a matter of fact, the next time we have a Panthers Insider Show, 1 week from today, we will be previewing a playoff matchup. So this is the last Panthers Insider Show of the regular season. The Panthers will play game number 80 of 82 tonight, and we'll talk about that and more as we cruise along here on this edition of Panthers Insider. Again, Doug Plagans here with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. First up, Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres tonight, 6 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise, 5:30. We will start the pregame coverage across the radio network. We'll get to more on the week ahead here in just a moment. We'll talk about the week that was. Jameson Olive stops by in segment number 2 from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. And we will go outside the boundaries of hockey coming up in segment number 3, the Miami E-Prix taking place down in Homestead today. Formula E action. And Formula E driver Nico Mueller, a conversation coming up with him in segment number 3. Joining us from Andretti Formula E, he's going to be up in segment number 3. So keep it locked right here. Lots coming your way here on Panthers Insider. We'll talk about the standings. We'll talk about the action across the rest of the National Hockey League on a busy Saturday. Things winding down. Playoff races, not going to say they're heating up because they have long heated up. Things are getting busy across the National Hockey League, to say the least. And we'll tell you about some of the big races across the NHL. So lots to get to here on this edition of Panthers Insider. Panthers and the Sabres tonight, 6 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise, 5:30. We are on the air with Panthers Preview. If you plan on tuning in this evening, AM 790 WAXY is your place to listen in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches. Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. Download the Panthers app. You can get us on that by hitting that radio button in the top right corner for free. And, of course, if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, we're on channel 219 in your car. You can always find us channel 931 on your SiriusXM app. That's on your laptop, on your phone, on wherever you tune in. You can find us on that SiriusXM app, and it's always going to be our broadcast on channel 931. So lots of different ways to tune in, and, of course, Panthers and the Sabres tonight. Turning it back a few days, the Panthers, of course, won their last couple of games. They've gotten themselves into third place in the Eastern Conference's Atlantic Division, 2 points back of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were tripped up in overtime by Detroit last night, and 4 points back of the division-leading Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs have the Montreal Canadiens on the schedule this evening, and Tampa Bay idle on this Saturday. The Panthers will play coming up this week. They'll wrap up the regular season. Of course, I mentioned the game against Buffalo tonight, but Panthers will have the New York Rangers in town, the final regular season home game for the Panthers. You don't want to miss that Monday at 7 o'clock. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Panthers wrap up the regular season slate on Tuesday at 7:30. It's now a 7:30 game because it's an ESPN game now. Tuesday night at 7:30, the Panthers will close out the regular season against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Won't be the last regular season game for Tampa Bay, but will be the last regular season game for the Panthers. That's coming up on Tuesday night. So that's how the week ahead lines up for the Panthers. And then we'll sit back and wait, see how things fall into place, see where the Panthers ultimately finish, and see who they'll play in round one. And then, of course, get an idea over the course of the week when that first-round playoff series will start. This is why we do it, folks, getting closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's coming quickly. And like I said, the next time we talk to you on Panthers Insider, 1 week from today, we will know who that first-round matchup is against. We'll know when that game one is going to start, and we'll take it from there. So it's going to be a busy next week. It was a busy week as we will turn it back here in just a moment, take a look back at the last few days. But, folks, the Panthers are officially playoff bound, and that's going to be a good segue into the soundbite we're going to get to here in a moment. The Panthers have clinched a spot officially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Get in the hunt. Gear up today with official Panthers playoff merchandise. Grab your playoff tees, caps, hoodies, and more. Go to flateamshop.com to purchase. You can also go to Pantherland, not only at Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise if you get out for a game, but also right here where I am right now at the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial. Pantherland here, open 7 days a week. They've got tons of stuff there, so get on out and check that out as well. I am coming to you from the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial. Let's get into the week that was. Well, the Panthers coming off back-to-back wins, going back to Tuesday over Toronto and Thursday over Detroit. We'll talk about those in a moment. But before the Panthers got back on home ice, they did clinch their playoff spot officially. They had a couple of losses on the road last weekend, tough games because they ran into some hot goaltending Saturday in Ottawa, Sunday in Detroit. But the Panthers did wind up having their playoff spot clinched. And as we get into hearing some of the sound on this edition of Panthers Insider, first up, we have a bite here from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice earlier this week. And I asked him, for the Panthers to clinch a playoff spot, I know this is a team that's accomplished a lot. They're coming off winning the Stanley Cup, but every team out there, when they break training camp in the fall, one of the first boxes to check is clinching a playoff spot. The Panthers have done that, and I asked Panthers head coach Paul Maurice if even off coming from a Stanley Cup victory last summer, like the Panthers did, is there still a sense of accomplishment to clinching a playoff spot?
There is. It's a really good thing to remember that how hard it is to make the playoffs. But we're a team that our standard was we would make the playoffs. The expectation was that we would make the playoffs. But a lot of work has to go into it. So as of right now, there's 11 teams that have made the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's how hard it is. So basically two-thirds of the league can't do it. And then you have to suffer your injuries and your travel and all the things that you go through, and there's always adversity. And it feels like when you're in that adversity, it's an inflection point, but it could go bad on you too, and that could be the difference. So these games are also very tight. It's such a long season for these guys. So making the playoffs is an accomplishment, even though it was our expectation.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. So the Panthers had their playoff spot wrapped up coming home, and the Panthers saw the Toronto Maple Leafs, fourth and final matchup of the season for the Panthers and the Leafs, back on Tuesday night at Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise. The Panthers won the game and, well, honestly, put on a bit of a defensive clinic against Toronto. Only allowed 18 shots on net, only gave up 4 third-period shots on goal to the Leafs. Here are the highlights from that victory back on Tuesday over Toronto as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Soft win back to Forsling shot. He scores off the post and in. Following a clean face-off win, the Panthers are on the board first, 1-0. As Gus Forsling let it go right off the draw.
Forsling near point across. Schmidt down to the end boards. Riley cuts it off. Lost it. Poked it out front. They score. And it's into the Woost Arena and right at the edge of the goal crease there to jam it home. And the Panthers take a 2-1 lead.
Verhaeghe in the neutral zone. His pass to center. Barkov has it over the offensive line. Barkov. Here's Marchand. A shot and it's stopped by Marner out in front. Now another try. Verhaeghe and he scores. Carter Verhaeghe let that one rip.
The Panthers win it this evening. 3-1 the final score. The Panthers knock off the Toronto Maple Leafs to start off this homestand. Another milestone for Paul Maurice as he ties Barry Trotz for third on the all-time coaching wins list. That's career win number 914 for Paul Maurice behind an NHL bench. The Panthers take 3 of 4 from the Leafs in the season series. Tonight, a 3-1 win for the Panthers over Toronto here at Amerant Bank Arena.
That was a great win for the Panthers back on Tuesday over Toronto and, of course, gave the Panthers a third win in 4 tries against the division-leading Toronto Maple Leafs this season. So a big win Tuesday, and the Panthers would look for a little bit of revenge as well on Thursday night. The Panthers going into their third and final matchup against the Detroit Red Wings this season. They had fallen victim to 2 just outstanding goaltending performances from Detroit's Cam Talbot at other times this season. Once back in January, once back on Sunday. So the Panthers came home and, well, they weren't going to be denied against the Red Wings back on Thursday night. It was a second straight Panthers victory to kick off this homestand. And here are the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Stumped in down to our right, shoveled to the end wall by Johansson. Flipped around near side, Mott didn't get it out. Forsling to the line, and this one is handled by Nate Schmidt. Left circle, Rodriguez in close, whacking away, and they score! A power play goal! And this game is tied at one, and Evan Rodriguez made the power move to the net, and he didn't give up there, jammed it home, and this game is tied. Down behind the net, it rims around near corner, and Sider bumps Barkov. Puck goes all the way out to the right point. Forsling is there, has it straight on, looks out front, Samuskevich. Turn around, Tony scores! Mackie Samuskevich, top corner, and the Panthers have a 2-1 lead. Marchand had it taken away. Now the puck nudged along, but a one-hand feed from Petrie never got to Kane. Back in come the Panthers on the counter. Balinskas in front of chance, and they score, and it's Brad Marchand! His first goal as a Florida Panther, and it gives the Panthers a 3-1 lead with 3:39 to play here in the second. What a setup and what a finish, and Brad Marchand cashes in. Seth Jones, long shot, tip, they score, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead right off the face-off. Seth Jones took the shot. Barkov got a stick on it in front. Looks like he's getting credit for this one, and the Panthers stretch their lead to 3 with 5:57 to play here in the third. The final seconds tick away, and the Panthers 4-1 winners tonight over the Detroit Red Wings. Paul Maurice gets his 915th career coaching win in the National Hockey League, puts him into sole possession of third place on the all-time NHL coaching wins list. The Panthers, four straight goals in this one to win it by a 4-1 final score.
So right there, you heard it, another milestone for Paul Maurice, the Panthers head coach, now third all-time in NHL head coaching victory. So a milestone for him. The Panthers won the game over Detroit back on Thursday by a 4-1 final score. First, let's hear from the Panthers head coach, Paul Maurice. Some thoughts on that Thursday win against the Red Wings. These came postgame.
You know, there's lots of good, different styles of game at this time of year. It wasn't a real heavy game. I got some good skill there, and they're a fast team. So I was fine with it. There's not the same kind of emotion right now around the league. It's everybody's going through the same thing. There's some teams, certainly some teams for position, but even with that, it's not the end of the world, right? So all you want to do is on the nights where you don't have a lot of juice and environmental energy, right? That there's something on the line. You still want to be in structure and you want to be smart and you want to. I guess the idea would be the mistakes that you make at the end in one place in the ice, somebody else has to pay for. Where it's a shot block, it's an odd man rush, your goaltender's got to do too much. And I didn't think we put each other in trouble tonight.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there, shifting to some of the players now. Evan Rodriguez scored the first Panthers goal in that one. Here he is post-game Thursday night with some thoughts on the win over Detroit.
Yeah, that was a really good game. I think we all kind of know that playoffs are right around the corner, and it's time to really, you know, dial in our game, and I thought there wasn't a guy on the ice that wasn't pulling on the rope, and just a great collective effort from Bobby all the way up.
Evan Rodriguez there. Brad Marchand, after 422 goals in a Boston Bruins uniform, scored his first goal in a Florida Panthers uniform during that win over the Red Wings. Here is Brad Marchand on how it felt to get that first goal as a Panther and how it felt to win Thursday postgame.
I'm just enjoying this whole journey. It's such a unique experience for myself, and I've been part of really good teams that have accomplished big things and some that haven't, and regardless, what you realize is that these opportunities are very few and far between, and you get to enjoy every day in this league, and I'm having a lot of fun right now. The guys are awesome, really starting to build some chemistry with everyone, and just feeling more comfortable every day. It's fun to be part of a winning group and to be out there with these guys right now.
Brad Marchand of the Panthers scored his first goal with the team back on Thursday night against Detroit. Another one of the Panthers newcomers. Here's Seth Jones, and he talks here post-game Thursday after the win over the Red Wings on how he feels adjusted to the system at this point.
Much more comfortable now. Obviously, a little bit of adjustment early on. You know, it's really a full court pressure system here, and a little bit different from even when, you know, my early days in Columbus and Nashville and obviously Chicago. So definitely feel more comfortable now, moving my feet more, playing with Meeks full time now. He really, you know, gets me going. He's very active in the play, so it makes me on my toes as well.
Yeah, that's been a really good pair for the Panthers, Seth Jones, Nico Mikla. A lot of length there between those two, of course, and tough to get around, and especially on the penalty kill. They're doing lots of good work for the Panthers here as we head down the stretch of the regular season. So Seth Jones there, some thoughts post-game the other night after the win over Detroit. So the Panthers are on, they've won back-to-back games, looking to make it three straight if they can get it done against Buffalo this evening. Third game on this four-game homestand, the last homestand of the regular season. The Panthers do have one more road game left on the docket. That's going to be Tuesday in Tampa. Folks, you can come on down to Funky Buddha Brewery in Fort Lauderdale. That's going to be the next Cats watch party presented by Jameson and Funky Buddha when the Cats take on Tampa Bay on Tuesday night. Enjoy drink specials, giveaways, Panthers hockey, and more. FloridaPanthers.com/CatsOnTap is where to go for more information on that. We're going to step aside. We'll come back. We'll talk about the week that was. We'll talk about what lies ahead. We'll talk all things Panthers hockey with my friend and yours from the Territory Talk podcast from FloridaPanthers.com. Jameson Olive's going to stop by coming up on the other side. Later on, we'll talk some Formula E. We've got Formula E driver Nico Mueller here on the program as well. So again, lots to get to. Panthers getting set to take on the Sabres tonight at 6 o'clock, second to last regular season home game for the Panthers. It's going to be a 6 o'clock face-off tonight with 5:30 pregame coverage across the Panthers radio network. Housekeeping note, if you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward County's AM 790 WAXY is your place to find us coming up tonight. Folks, we'll step aside. We'll come back. Jameson Olive on the other side with Dan Day on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans. This is Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network presented by Baptist.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Stealth.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans with you talking Florida Panthers hockey as always on a Saturday morning. Panthers winners of back-to-back games. Another Atlantic Division opponent on the docket tonight. Panthers at 6 o'clock this evening at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, taking on the Buffalo Sabres, who have been surging a bit, who have been scoring at a pretty good rate lately, though their playoff hopes have been dashed. Still a tough opponent tonight coming into Amerant Bank Arena. So again, a 6 o'clock face-off, 5:30. We're on the air with Panthers preview. And if you're tuning in, Miami-Dade and Broward County's AM 790 WAXY is your place to tune in for tonight's contest. So you can catch us there. And, of course, if you're tuned in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 92.1. If you're tuned in up on the Treasure Coast, Real Radio 101.7, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Keys, you can download the Panthers app for free, hit that radio button in the top right corner, and get us each and every game. Lots of different ways to consume Panthers hockey, and you want to make sure you're consuming it. With the playoffs on the horizon, the Panthers down to three games remaining in the regular season. Tonight's game number 80. The final home game of the regular season is going to be Monday night. The Panthers, a 7 o'clock game at home against the New York Rangers. And then a quick game off to Tampa. The Panthers will finish out the regular season slate Tuesday night against the Lightning, a game that's now a 7:30 start. So make sure you mark that down on the calendar. And that'll be 82 of 82, and then we'll see where the chips fall. The Panthers, they've officially punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now just waiting to see how things shake out as far as seeding is concerned, as far as who the Panthers might play come round one. Lots to get to, and lots to get to in terms of the week that was as well. Again, Doug Plagans here with you, joined by my co-host on the Territory Talk podcast. You know him from FloridaPanthers.com. You know him from the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. My friend and yours, Jameson Olive, kind enough to stop by here this morning on Panthers Insider. And, well, Jameson, why don't we get to it right there? It sounds simple. But every year, when every team breaks training camp, doesn't matter if they
picked first in the draft lottery last year or if they won the Stanley Cup the season prior. Every team breaks training camp with one of the goals being clinch a playoff spot. And the Panthers have again accomplished that. And Paul Maurice mentioned it, no matter what position your team's in, there is always a sense of accomplishment that comes with that. And I think we felt that from the group this week.
Yeah, you can't take it for granted. This is six straight trips to the playoffs for the Panthers, one of the longest streaks in the NHL right now. I think it's fourth or fifth maybe at this point. And it's not a given. Even as good as this team is, it's never a given. And in order to believe that, look no further than a couple teams the Panthers play quite a bit. You look at the Boston Bruins. 2 years ago, the greatest regular season team of all time. Now they're out of the playoffs. And honestly, probably one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference right now, the way things are shaping up. And then you have the New York Rangers, the President's Trophy winners last year. Best regular season team in the NHL. They're going to miss the playoffs this year. It's incredible how quickly things can change from season to season. And it's not even wholesale changes happen. Sometimes just something goes wrong or one or two guys just aren't playing up to the right level and everything falls apart. It's a very kind of fragile house of cards sometimes, a hockey team. But for the Panthers, once again, everything's in the right place. Everything's clicking. And you got to enjoy this. I mean, I remember years ago, when go back to that first year of six, when the Panthers just got in the playoffs, and it feels like the Super Bowl. Just getting in felt so incredible. And now we're at the point now where you can get a little greedy. You can say, okay, we're in. We knew we'd get in. We want to win another Stanley Cup. We have a bigger goal here. But even though it's good to feel that way, and it's great, it's impressive to have those kind of goals, just always make sure, whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, to just savor the moment a little bit of just making the playoffs after you committed 82 games to just an incredible grind.
Jameson Olive here with us from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. And impressive the way the Panthers have been playing, too, with some key players out of the lineup, some guys letting things heal. Sam Bennett's been out, letting things heal up. That was what we were told there. They hope Dmitry Kulikov can get back in here before the end of the regular season. Kind of still in wait-and-see mode with Matthew Tkachuk as far as where things go with him. He has been on the ice skating, but Nico Sturm came back. Barkov missed a few games, came back. Gus Forsling, Sam Reinhart, they were out that last game in Detroit back on Sunday, but obviously have come back after just missing that one game. Carter Verhaeghe, a maintenance day in the game back on Thursday night against Detroit. So, again, guys getting a chance to rest up some of those bumps and bruises that have taken place over the 82-game season. All that being said, have you liked the way that you've seen this group play, especially these last couple of games, two straight wins, two teams that needed the points, despite having some guys coming in and out of the lineup?
I really have, and I kind of liken it to that kind of decade of dominance the Bruins had. I know they only won one cup, but every single year they were one of the top teams. Every single year they were incredibly dangerous. And you likened it to, and when you talk to people, that whether they played for the Bruins or just around the Bruins, it came down to a couple things. One, of course, the culture. Two, the system. And three, there was always at least one or two core guys still around that kind of kept, passing the baton to the next generation, and things kept moving along. The Panthers are at that point now. The culture is obviously here. The core is obviously here. And, I mean, right now they have a lot of key pieces, but for a long time, contractually, they're going to have key pieces in this lineup. They're going to keep this thing moving and kind of keep this ship right. So it's exciting. It's been impressive to see just how that's unfolded. And I think when you talk about the guys resting, yes, that's important, but that's a tip of the cap as well to the depth the Panthers have. The guys coming up from the AHL have all been fantastic. Jacob Megna, if there was two more teams in this league, he's an everyday NHL player. He's right on the cusp. Rasmus Asplund is a guy that always comes up, gives the Panthers a great game or two, and then goes back down. You never get mad at him. He's just a really solid call-up, another guy that probably deserves to play more NHL games. And Jesse Puljujarvi was a former first-round pick that his career kind of was near the end. Maybe he was going back to Europe, and he finds a home here with the Panthers, plays two great games. So who knows what's going to happen with him next year. Maybe he finds that role being an extra for the Panthers. We'll see. But we know how important the guys at the big league level are, but depth is important at this time of year too, and it's going to be more important in the playoffs as well. We saw last year with the Panthers in the postseason, that fourth line was about six or seven guys. It's probably going to be the same this year during this year's run. So, yes, it's been great to get the guys the rest. And obviously, like I said, you see the bigger picture here with this team as well, but that bigger picture goes from the biggest dogs to also the guys coming up playing one or two games.
You mentioned it on the Territory Talk podcast the other day, and you had some numbers that backed it up as well, but Sergei Bobrovsky, as you mentioned, playoff Bob is here and has been here locked in really since the Four Nations. I mean, he has steadily been building his game, and obviously a future Hall of Famer. He knows exactly where he wants his game to be. Well, it's been in a really good place, especially on home ice over the course of the last month change. Have you noticed anything just in the way Sergei Bobrovsky has been
commanding the position lately? Because he looks like he is primed and ready to backstop this team on another playoff run.
Well, Doug, what you notice first is the hair. As we all know, Bob's hair is very long right now, which means it's playoff time. He shaves his head every offseason and then just grows it out throughout the year. When it gets to the shoulder length that it is now, you know things are getting serious. And I always kind of like that as a sign of the times. We know the playoffs are coming when Bob's got that flow going. But no, in terms of his play, like you said, going back about 6 weeks, his save percentage is around 925, 930. Goals against is around, 1.6, 1.7. All the numbers look spectacular. And it's because the Panthers are playing so well systematically in front of him as well. And that basically comes down to a normal good night for Bob with the Panthers is he faces maybe 23, 24 shots, five or six of them are terrifying, and he stops, most of those. Maybe he gives up one or two. That's a perfect night for Sergei Bobrovsky, and that's been the case here for the Panthers for a while. So that's why the numbers are also so great. But he's a guy that you look at right now, and it's just he's ready to go. You know what Bob's going to do in the playoffs. You know he's going to be the guy. As long as the Panthers in front of him hold up their end of the bargain, Bob's going to be fantastic back there. And it's another reason you have to be confident going to this year's playoff run, because as much as so many other things can factor into the playoffs, usually it comes down to goaltending. You got to have a guy. And we've seen in the past, with the Panthers' opponents, sometimes they don't have a guy. Sometimes they have two guys, and that's bad because then you're going back and forth between two different goaltenders and you're second-guessing yourself. The Panthers are going to the playoffs with one singular guy. It's Sergei Bobrovsky, and that's exactly what you want.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here with us. And anybody who's listened to the Territory Talk podcast, anybody who's listened to this show going all the way back to 2021, to the draft, knows that we've been singing the praises of Mackie Samuskevich quite a bit for a long time. And we talked about the evolution and how his game was able to grow this year, played close to half the season on the fourth line, learned a lot of valuable lessons there, learned to evolve his game away from the puck. The offensive ability has certainly always been there, but that goal he scored against Detroit, I know he's got 15 this year, but that goal he scored against Detroit back on Thursday night, turnaround shot, high slot, just top shelf, that was one I feel like that it was one of those kind of Mackie Samuskevich has arrived kind of goals, kind of highlights. I think we're going to be looking back at that one for a while just because of the way it came off. And I'd mentioned it to Bill Lindsay a number of times. You start getting the sense now, you noticed a lot of the play away from the puck, the little plays that didn't show up in the box score that are going to be important to him, again, evolving his game at the NHL level. But he's reached that point now where part of it's confidence, part of it is just where his game is. When the puck's on his stick in the offensive end, if I'm the opposition, it looks threatening. It looks like something dangerous is about to happen. Do you feel like you're getting that sense? And do you feel like Panthers fans are getting that sense now when Mackie has the puck on a stick in the offensive end?
100%. When he gets that puck and he does a little curl in one of the circles and has an open shot, the opposing team's like, we got to get in the way of this one because it's going to be a laser. It's going to be an absolute rocket. And I asked Paul Maurice about him, after the win over the Red Wings, and it's just been such an impressive journey, and he said that. It's rare to see a young guy that's so willing to come in and do all the hard things and then getting rewarded with, obviously, all the fun, great things. But like you said, he started on the fourth line this year, wasn't playing a ton of minutes, was kind of crashing and banging out there with A.J. Greer and Tomasz Nosek. But he loved it. He loved it. He just loved being in the NHL, loved getting that opportunity. I remember when he scored his first NHL goal, one of his wingers was Uvis Balinskis, who's a defenseman. They were kind of taping things together there on the fourth line for a bit. But they loved it. And I think it made him a better player because now you see as he's kind of worked his way up the lineup and now he's in the top six, is there's been games where he still leads this team in hits. He's throwing the body, but he's not reckless. He's not going crazy out there. He's just finishing checks. He's playing physical. He's forechecking. He's doing all the things you want to see a young player do, and I think that's what gives me the most excitement about Mackie Samuskevich. He's still in his early 20s. He's still just a rookie, but he's kind of already learned all the important stuff. So now it's just kind of building on all that strong, the foundation that he has, and just taking a step and getting bigger and stronger and physically filling out and just having the experience of playing opponents, playing certain goaltenders. It's kind of maybe not the easy stuff, but stuff that is just going to come naturally as he ages. Whereas there's young players in this league right now that are wicked offensive players and put up a ton of points, but you might say, man, that guy is just he's dangerous in the defensive zone. He's got to figure some stuff out there. Mackie's not that guy. He's a well-rounded player, and I think he's got a little Barkov in him in and of the sense that he's so incredibly humble but so confident on the ice, and that's a perfect combination. It makes for a great teammate. It makes for a great player, and he's already a fan favorite here, and it's well-deserved. So when you look at this, the overall success of the Panthers this last you know, 5-6 years, two big things stand out among everything else, and that's that the Panthers hit on both their first-round picks, which is really important. They got Anton Lundell in Bill Zito's first draft class. How important has he been to this team, you know, obviously, especially in the cup run? You have a guy that is that good and can play on an entry-level contract for a while that allows you to build out the rest of your team, and that is so important. And now you have Mackie Samuskevich, you know, their only other first-round pick in the Bill Zito era. He comes up. He's an outstanding rookie, and he's a guy now that's going to be on a team-friendly contract here a little bit, which is going to allow them to build an even better team. So all those things matter. It's amazing how many little pieces and things come together, but if you go back to those two drafts and the Panthers strike out on both those first-round picks, you ask yourself, who's in those spots right now? We don't know. Definitely, they're not going to be as good as the guys that are in them right now in Lundell and Samuskevich. So another stick tap to Bill Zito and his team just for how they built this team.
And a huge credit to Bill Zito and his hockey operations department as well, because it's not as if those picks that the Panthers used on Lundell and Samuskevich were, you know, top two, top three picks. You're talking a number 12 pick and a number 24 pick for Lundell and Mackie Samuskevich. And that takes doing some homework to identify players that can come in those positions and come in and make impacts right away. So again, huge credit goes to Bill Zito and his group there for finding players like that who've been able to blossom into what look like guys who are just scratching the surface now in terms of what they're going to be able to accomplish.
Yeah, and the second part to that too, and that's also the confidence to hold on to those guys. Because obviously the way the Panthers have built their team, bringing in guys like whether it's Bennett or Montour or Reinhardt or Tkachuk, the list goes on. They've had to trade capital. They've had to trade prospects. They've had to trade draft picks. And don't tell me that in half those conversations, the opposing teams that say, hey, maybe you give us Anton Lundell, or hey, maybe you give us Mackie Samuskevich. And the Panthers believed in those guys and they held on to those guys. So that's another part. Yes, you get them, then you develop them, then you got to hold on to them. You got to keep that faith. And that faith has been rewarded by those guys, which is great.
And the Panthers have a lot of guys who played more hockey than anybody in the National Hockey League these last few years. When you look at back-to-back runs to the Cup Final and you look at how many guys the Panthers had play in the Four Nations Face-Off and things like that. Jameson, two more before we let you get going here, but how much have you liked the way the Panthers and Paul Maurice have navigated this last stretch of the season? Because I know Paul Maurice has mentioned it a lot. He's had guys that have played a ton of hockey. He's got guys that need to heal up. They have 7 games and 11 nights to finish out the regular season, so there's no doubt that's a grind. Obviously, there's still a lot on the line on top of all that with seeding and potentially finishing first and all that that's been thrown into the mix. But at the same time, you throw all that together, and this team still trending, building, heading in the right direction, and looking really good at the most important time of the year.
Yeah, even when things weren't going great in terms of wins and losses, all the underlying numbers were still strong. Even with all the guys out of the lineup, they were still executing the system. They were still winning the possession battle most nights. They were still winning the expected goals battle most nights. There was never really a time where there was a big red flag. He said, oh, something's wrong. This is scary. We got to fix this before the playoffs. And, you know, Paul Maurice said the other night, I think since January 1st, he said there's been 4 or 5 games where he's been like, I don't like that game. So that's what you want to hear. That's great. That's the consistency you're going to need come playoff time, because as we say, yes, the Panthers might go through a run in the regular season where they lose 7 of 9 or something like that. But then you say, what singular team is going to beat this team 4 times out of 7 in the playoffs? Because that's what the Panthers care about. Just those 7-game blocks that take you through the playoffs all the way to the Stanley Cup. So looking at the team now, especially if knock on wood, all things are healthy and they get to, you know, Aaron Ekblad back in Game 3, Matthew Tkachuk's good at some point in the first round, all the other guys come back and feel great. You have to like the Panthers' chances, and that's all you can ask for is a chance at this time of year. There's obviously other teams in the East that are feeling exactly as confident. You have Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs, both those teams think they can win it all, and they can. They got the rosters for it. You go to the West, and obviously you have the Oilers coming back, and you have the Winnipeg Jets, the incredible season they're having, and you have you know, the Los Angeles Kings. They're always dangerous still. They're not too far removed from their cups, about a decade, but there's a lot of teams out there as well that have teams where you say, if that team wins the Stanley Cup, that's fine. They deserve it. They have the team for it. It's the hardest trophy to win in sports for a reason. But the Panthers, Doug, they're one of those teams. They're in the fight. I like their team more than most other teams, too. They're going to have a good shot. But when it comes down to game time, there's going to be a couple coin flips, a couple bounces. You hope they go your way. But regardless, the Panthers, like we said, they're in the playoffs. Celebrate that. And now get ready to just keep going crazy as we kind of buckle up for whatever this ride ends up being.
What's it going to take tonight against Buffalo coming in, scoring a lot of goals? They're not in the playoff hunt anymore. I feel like we've seen this movie play out before with the Buffalo Sabres. They're going to miss the playoffs again. But at the same time, because of, and Paul Maurice has mentioned this before, before. Sometimes when you play a team this time of the year, their risk profile changes. You're willing to, if you're a team like Buffalo, you can roll the dice a little bit more. You can make some riskier passes because the risk isn't there anymore. They're playing with a bit more freedom, I guess, and they've been scoring a lot of goals. There's talent there. It's been there all season, but right now it's rolling a bit. What's the key for the Panthers here this evening against the Sabres? And again, how much are you looking forward to being able to, acknowledge the great fans who've been out there all regular season as well?
Oh, it's going to be great. And I remember back in the day when fan appreciation was the farewell. It was, this is the last game. This is the last time we're going to see you for 5 months.
Notice I said regular season.
Yeah, here's some free stuff. Here's jerseys off our backs. Thanks for coming, guys. But now it's kind of a kickoff more than anything, which is awesome. So it's going to be great to see the fans, great to celebrate everyone, because this building's been rocking all year. One of the top attended teams in the NHL. It's been great to see all the sellouts. And obviously the Panthers deserve it, but the fans deserve it as well to go to a building that's packed. So everyone keep enjoying that. But you talk about the Sabres, and I think they're the best worst team in the NHL. They are so talented. They have so many guys that so many other teams would want. I think all you need is one smart guy with a good idea to get in there, and that team could be a contender in 1 or 2 years. They have that many good pieces and that many good players right now. They're a team that if the Panthers beat 7-0, I wouldn't be surprised. And if they lost 7-0, I wouldn't be surprised. And I can't say that about any other team in the NHL. Rasmus Dahlin, after Cale Makar, I think is maybe the most dynamic defenseman in the NHL. Tage Thompson, he's 800 feet tall and can put up 40 goals. He's a freak. There's no other player in the NHL where he has that kind of profile as he does, which is incredible. And they have so many great young scorers on that team. I love J.J. Paterka. He's going to be one of the top. I think he already has maybe almost 30 goals this season. If not, he's going to be a guy that's going to consistently score 30 goals. So for them, it's just a question of why isn't it working with all the pieces together and how are we going to figure that out moving forward. But in terms of a one-game sample size, Panthers got to be ready because all those guys can light you up. So you got to go in there and you got to establish dominance early. You got to have a strong first period because at the same time, that's a team that in the back of their mind is saying, this has been a brutal season. We have 2 games left. I want to get out of here. So if you can kind of push them towards that, that's what you want to do. So it's going to come down to a good start, good first period for the Panthers, and kind of roll from there. And I think it kind of draws me back to something Evan Rodriguez said during the game against the Red Wings in the second period when the Panthers really started to put the heat on. He said, we just ramped it up. We just felt like ramping it up. We felt like we had them on their heels, and we just went for it. There's going to be openings like that against the Sabres. If the Panthers see that opening, ramp it up, go for it, end the game in the middle of the game.
He's Jameson Hall, FloridaPanthers.com, and Territory Talk as well. And, of course, we'll hear him in the second intermission tonight. Puck drops 6 o'clock, Panthers and the Sabres. Jameson, thanks as always for stopping by.
Thanks, Doug.
That is Jameson Hall, FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by with us. We'll start the coverage tonight at 5:30 with Panthers preview, and then we will have the drop of the puck shortly afterward at 6. Well, Formula E action taking place down in Homestead as well over the course of the weekend here, and we'll talk to, from Andretti Formula E, we'll talk to Nico Mueller, driver on the other side of the break. Had a chance to catch up with him the other night at the Panthers game, so we'll hear that conversation. We'll set the table for tonight's action as well. More to get to straight ahead. It's the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Thanks, Jameson Olive, for stopping by last segment. Panthers and the Sabres tonight at 6, 5:30. Pregame coverage across the radio network for you. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com to get your tickets. Some other action going on across the sports world. Down in Homestead today, Formula E action. And the other night at the Panthers game, that Panthers win over Detroit, had a chance to catch up with Andretti Formula E driver Nico Mueller. And well, keep in mind, this conversation happened during the game last time out, during the first intermission to be exact. First thing I asked him about was what he felt like, how he felt about his first NHL in-person experience back on Thursday.
So far, very good. I mean, super exciting to get to experience it live. The atmosphere in the stadium is great. Obviously, the level down on the field is very, very high. So, yeah, pleasure to be here.
And you'd mentioned you'd seen some hockey before. Something you grew up with a little bit, watching a little bit of?
A little bit, yes. I mean, I'm from Bern in Switzerland, and, you know, we have a nice stadium over there as well. And, you know, every year we go and see one or the other game together with some friends and enjoy the sport. I think it's, you know, one of the exciting sports to watch And there's always action down there on the ice, and yeah, I love following it.
Well, I know you're driving a race car, but I got to ask, because we talk to a lot of athletes, and I'm always interested. A lot of guys, it seems like a lot of the top athletes, they like to watch a little bit of everything, and they follow all the sports. You kind of like that?
Yeah, a little bit as well, yeah. I think, you know, in our sport, obviously, we have an interesting mixture of it being a team sport on one side, but then once you know that the flag drops, you're out there on your own as well. So we kind of get to experience both aspects, and then to follow team sports a bit more deeply, I think you know, can also give us some insights that might help for our sport. And then we're all competitive, you know, and we love seeing other people compete at the very highest level out there and show what they can do. So always interesting to get an insight into other sports. Yeah.
Well, the Miami Ypres is coming up on Saturday in Homestead. So I got to ask you, for folks who can get out there and check it out, what can they expect?
Very exciting racing. I think Formula E, you know, really provides probably the most unpredictable racing out there. With the Homestead circuit, we have, I think, a great platform to provide unpredictable racing. We'll have to manage energy, tire, temperatures and stuff. So you'll not know who's going to win the race until the very last meters of the last lap. So there's a spectacular race coming up, and we're looking forward to it. And hopefully, you know, together with you guys, enjoy the show.
Well, I've got to ask you, too, with the Homestead race coming up, just from the preparation you've done, is there any special focus or a special challenge that the Homestead track presents to you?
Yeah, I think we'll only really find out when we've done our first laps tomorrow on Friday in practice, but we've heard that the track is very, very abrasive, so the surface is going to be hard on our tires, which, you know, normally we don't have to manage tires that much in Formula E. We have to more manage, you know, the energy side of things. We, you know, we can't go flat out from the beginning to the end because we just don't have enough capacity in the battery to do so. That's purposely done to add a strategic element to the racing. So in Homestead, we might have to manage the tires at the same time, which would be an extra challenge. And yeah, can't wait to find out.
And I have watched some Formula E before. So tell me, what makes the electric car unique driving it?
I mean, it's thrilling because the imminent torque you get when accelerating out of corners is pretty impressive. So when we get to go out there and do a qualifying lap, you know, the adrenaline's pumping. It's super cool. But then you have to completely change your mindset when you go into the race, because their efficiency becomes key. You don't only have to be fast, you have to be, you know, reading the race right, pick the right strategic decisions, and be as efficient as possible with your driving, because as I said, otherwise you're not going to see the flag. So a lot of, you know, things to be managed by the driver, by the team, when you're out there racing on the limit, and that's what makes it exciting.
And I've got to ask you one last thing here, and you're going to feel it again coming up on Saturday. You probably love this feeling because it's what you do for a living, but those moments right before a race, what's it like for somebody who's never going to be in that situation, but you do it all the time? I'm sure it's a feeling that, plain and simple, you're probably addicted to that feeling a little bit.
Exactly. I think it is addictive. It's some sort of a mixture between excitement, a bit of nervosity as well, but also some sort of, you know, state of peace and calmness, because you're out there, then once you get strapped into the car, just with yourself, with your thoughts, being focused and concentrated on what you want to do, and that, you know, brings some sort of peace with it, and I love that feeling, and you know, you want to experience it all over again, weekend after weekend.
Nico Mueller, Andretti Formula E, they're racing down in Homestead today. Panthers and the Sabres tonight at 6 o'clock, 5:30 Panthers preview on the radio network, and that does it for us. We invite you to tune in this evening or come and check out the action, floridapanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, to get your tickets. For Dan Day on the other side of the glass, big thanks to Jameson Olive for stopping by last segment. Thanks to Nico Mueller for his time. Thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.